This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
All right, let's get started here. So my topic today is don't just survive, thrive. And as Christians, we want to be that example, right? We don't want to be in the survival mode. We want to show the world, look, I love the Lord, you know, and look at how I've been blessed. In fact, I have a friend, and whenever I say to him, you know, how are you doing, Bob? He's a doctor, and he is an orthopedic surgeon, so you can imagine his stress level, right? He always says, I'm blessed. That's how he answers, I'm blessed. And I know his life, and it isn't always blessed, but that's how he has purpose. To answer that question, now can you imagine if someone says, you know, hi doctor, how are you doing? And he answers in the hallway, I'm blessed. That's different, right? He's a witness. That's how he's witnessing. And so I want to pray for you today. And, you know, some of what I'm going to talk about, you know, may hit close to home. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes, but in the introduction, Meredith said that I am honest, and I am. I always laugh when people say, can I ask your opinion? may rue the day. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are listening today. I ask you to give me the words that you want me to say, and I ask that those words impact those who need to hear them. Please open the hearts of those who are weary, allowing them to be infilled with your love, your peace, and your joy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. So the first thing I want to do is invite you to connect with me. I'm going to give you my direct email. It's Felice, F-E-L-I-C-E, at mediaangels.com. And one of the things I love about this Finish Well conference is that this is the one place where a speaker can go and get infilled as well as sharing with others. Because I feel I am so blessed to be here. And the quality of, you know, the talks and how everyone is encouraging us to stay the course. So I want to be able to be in touch with you afterwards. And also, I have a weekly podcast, VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. So you can hear different topics weekly. And everything is free. If you have a podcast app on your smartphone, you can download it all on iTunes. Meredith and Family. She's so modest, she didn't tell you that they have a Finish Well podcast that they do monthly with their Finish Well team, and Pastor Mike has done sessions as well as the entire Finish Well team, so it's really great, and we invite you to join us there. You know, we have a challenge in our lives, and the challenge in our lives is to have this persona that everything's great. We don't want, you know, our world to know what's going on. And so, you know, I want you to listen today with the thought that is not this. Gosh, I wish my friend, fill in the blank, was here today to hear this. What she's saying really applies to them. You know, I wish they were here today. And so what I want you to do is see if you can take one little nugget of truth. I've done some things for my husband. I'm doing some networking, and I really didn't want to do it. And he asked me to do this networking for him. And out of obedience to the Lord and my husband, I said yes. And I remember I went to one session, and they were going to teach me about public speaking. So I go to this with this attitude of, what can they teach me? I was a teacher before that, and you know, I've been speaking since, 1992? You know, some of you were not born, or some of you were in elementary school at the time, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, what? And so I went in before I walked in the door, and I said, you know what, Lord, let me learn a nugget of truth. So we can learn. We can constantly learn from everyone. And so that's what I hope today that you learn. And also, don't think you can be a carbon copy of another family. You know, like I look around the room and I would like to be the family in this right-hand vicinity over here. I won't mention any names. I can point to them with my little laser pointer here. But I would like my family to look like that. But my family's not going to look like that. My family's going to look like the family God needed to be. So that's my job and my husband's job, is to make sure that we are the family that God wants us to be. Okay, so what's the real me? You know, I'm a wife and a mother. I don't like to clean. I love to cook. And I have more ideas than there is time in the day. I used to keep this little book, and I have been known to be at a store, and in the middle of the store, pushing a cart, where I get this idea, and I have to stop and scramble in my purse. Now we have smartphones, and I can pull out notes, and I can start typing. And my kids just shake their heads and go on, you know. But God, you know, he gives people different gifts, and he allows us to do different things as he allows you to do them. So I want you to look at, you know, your lives differently than mine. But most of our lives have that word that's at the bottom of this slide, and that is stress. I remember being a young mom and suffering with migraines after my second child. And so they got severe enough where my husband wanted me to go to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, can you tell me a little bit about your life? So I started telling him we're building a house, and my husband started a construction company, and I started homeschooling. And he's like, all right, I'm prescribing this medication for you, you really need it. And it was like this psychotic drug to make me happy. I'm like, no, I'm happy, you know. And he said, yeah, you kind of like looked like I was all excited. You know, we're starting this company, I'm building a house. And so, you know, he goes, you're stressed. And I said, doctor, are you stressed? You know? And he's like, well, it's not about me, you know, we're talking about you. Yeah. And you know, I'm having to pay him. He should have been paying me. No. So the idea here is that we all have different levels of stress. So how are we going to cope with that? Are we going to be, oh, woe is me. Nobody understands. You know, how am I going to get through the day? All right. So I'm going to challenge you. I am, one of the things that we tend to do is look at things differently, especially if you have a husband, I know that, or a wife, and I know some of you are sitting here and you're young people, but everybody looks at things differently. And I think the theme of this conference has been, you know, what is a real family and forgiveness, and that's been a reoccurring theme. And getting to the root of things, you know, and I think you can see a lot of confirmation in the talks, and that's God does that. But getting to the root of an issue is very, very important. Look at where you came from. When you are going to just be on survival mode, you know, sometimes when you're on survival mode, you think of the military, and what do? They bunker down. They've got their guns. They're ready at a moment's notice to start shooting. And, you know, it's either them or us. And that's sometimes how we act, but sadly, it's within our family. You know, if I lose my temper, my kids say to me now, because, you know, my youngest is 15 and my oldest is 35, my kids will say to me, what's going on, Mom? They know that's not typical. You know, they go, what's going on in your life? You know, what's happening? And I'll just say, you know, this, and this. Because a lot of times we take it out on our kids. We take it out on the people we love the most. We can go out to the grocery store, you know, and be all happy and get in the car and scream at our kids. Or how about this, moms and dads? You know, have you ever gone to a field trip? Homeschoolers have their own time. Homeschoolers do not have regular. If a homeschool field trip starts at 9, most homeschoolers will leave the house at 9, you know, everybody has their own, you know, because what are they going to do, kick us out, you know? I mean, we have our own little thing. Well, I am not, and I've been healed of this, so I can admit it here, I am not really good at sticking to a time, you know? And I mean, I've been late at times in the past to my own talks. And I said, well, they can't start without me. But something always happened. You're ready to go. You know, it's 8 o'clock. Oh, I've got an hour. I'm going to put a load of laundry in. Oh, the phone rings. Oh, you know, oh, I think I'll mop the floor. I mean, you know, you think you have all this time and you don't. And that was the one thing that drove my kids crazy. I have 5 children and only my oldest son is like his mom. And the other 4 are on average 15 to 30 minutes early. So see, I taught them to be early. But that your challenge is to look at some of the root causes of things, of why you do things, how you can turn lemons into lemonade. That's your challenge. When something bad happens, you don't look at it and say, I can't change. This is insurmountable. You know, look at it and now look at what is, you know, what you can do to make it better. And I always say today's life struggles become tomorrow's praise report. You know, we heard this just yesterday. Without the cross, there is no resurrection, right? Without the cross, there is no resurrection. So each of us has our daily crosses. And my secret weapon is prayer, more prayer, prayer partners, and intercessory prayer. This conference has been bathed in so much prayer. Our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network has people praying for us all the time. And a lot of people will email me and just tell me that they're praying. They're praying for the network. They're praying for each of the podcasters. It is a secret weapon, and it is what is, you know, sustaining us. So when you think everything is falling apart, then you're going to, you know, have to look at that and see if you have your prayer team in place. So we look at things and we say, you know, when things are really bad, nobody understands us. Nobody knows what we're going through. And so I'm going to give you some things to do when you're in that situation. Because a lot of times, you know, we hear, well, with God, you know, everything, you know, has an answer. God has a plan. And all that is great. And he does. But when you're in the middle going through a disaster in your family, we shut down. We do go into that survival mode. And I want to give you some things that when that happens, that you can remember and say, okay, these are the things that I can do right now and today. And I know that we went through a financial crisis, and I've been blessed in my life. All through my life, I never knew growing up that we didn't have a lot of money. I guess we didn't, but nobody told me that. And most kids go through life and they just really don't know, you know, how much money their parents have, nor do they care, because, you know, if you're getting food on the table, that's a pretty good thing. And so, you know, at some point we started doing really well, and, you know, just was how life was. My parents had nice cars. We owned a restaurant. You know, we took month-long vacations. We enjoyed our family. My parents weren't materialistic people. They poured everything into their kids. And so at some point in my married life, you know, Jeff and I worked really hard. We didn't have money. You know, I was a teacher, and I saved my entire salary, and we, you know, bought a house, and we did some things. But I never really had to struggle financially. And at a point in our lives, the whole economic crisis came, and we were diversified. We were in construction, and we were home inspectors, all tied into the housing market. And so at that point, we were owed so much money that it was probably 2 times as much as most people make, a very comfortable income that most people make in a normal family. And so most people, and we saw our friends losing their houses, people losing their businesses, huge auto dealerships. We had one on either side of our subdivision, both closing. It was like a ghost town in our town. The motorcycles were all gone because construction industry, you know, those are a lot of the guys that buy motorcycles. So, and we went into survival mode, you know. And I remember praying with my pastor, and he said, both of you get down on your knees and pray, and everything's going to be okay. And I said to him, how do you know everything's going to be okay? We have all these bills and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like all of the teachings and all of the years that God had poured into us flew out the door because I was in survival mode. I'm a problem solver. I'm looking at this much money needs to go out and there's not enough money in the account. What do we do? And the Lord managed to take that, the depths of despair, and, you know, like we looked at each other and we said, well, we have our health. We're not going to have it long. I'll be back with that same doctor trying to give me a prescription for stress. But, you know, I had friends who had panic attacks and went to the hospital. And I have to say, I never got there. And because of the Lord and because of that great advice from our pastor to get down beside the bed, both of us together in union, in prayer. And at that point, my husband turned and he laid hands on me and he said, Lord, if you're not blessing my business right now, then I want you to bless Felice's. And I was shocked because my business was always a hobby. It was never something that I worked full time. I worked it as, you know, people say, well, how do you do all this? And I did it in pockets of time. You know, and so it wasn't a full-time job. I didn't wake up in the morning and go up to my office, you know, and work all day. That's not how it was. And so, you know, I went through all of the, you know, the if you've watched Anne of Green Gables at all, you know, the depths of despair. And, you know, and then, you know, I had my little meltdown. I call it my internal temper tantrum. Do any of you have that? You know, we're inside. You're stomping your feet. And not happy with how things are going out, but on the outside, you know, you're holding it together until, you know, something happens. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is what I did, and that is I took a break from everything. Even though my husband had prayed for me, I had some things that came up in my life, and I just really went to prayer and I took a break. And the second thing was I looked at solutions, and he and I sat down and we wrote out some probable solutions of what we could do. And, you know, and sometimes it had to be plan B, C, and D because, you know, it A just was not working. So most of you know Matthew 28:16-20, and that is, you know, the Great Commission. And I ask you to write that scripture down and go back and really read that. And when you read it, depending on where you are in your life, it can mean different things. And, you know, in this situation with us and with my family, I felt that, you know, the Lord was really teaching us. And so I'm going to read you, I don't even remember what version this is, but I'm going to read you what I have here. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that last line, I am with you always, is what sustained us. What is the Lord's commission to you when you are going through those depths of despair? What is his commission to you? You are his disciple. He is with you always. He will provide, not how you want it. You know, winning the lottery was not an option for us because to win the lottery, you have to play it a little, you know. And so, you know, that was not what was available to us. So we had to go to prayer. And when we realized that he was providing in other ways, and he actually was providing through my publishing business, which never made enough money. My husband used to tease me and say, oh, just tell me when I can retire, you know. And so it started flourishing because he laid hands on me and prayed. And it was, you know, money we needed when we needed it. And the other thing I want to tell you in all that is, what is your greatest priority? And that's one of the techniques when you're in this crisis mode. The one thing I would ask myself every day is, what do I have to get done? Now, some people are great list people. I'm a list person in my head. I ran a Ultimate Homeschool Expo with probably 60 speakers when we had our really big expo sessions, and this is a virtual event. It's like a homeschool conference, but people from all over the United States are the speakers, so they would call in on the phone, or we would have slide presentations. Meredith did a ton of them. The girls all, you know, a lot of the Curtis family spoke, and Juliana and Katie Beth and Jenny Rose, I think we had just about all of them. You know, shine your next and be sitting there. No, but so we had this conference, and I would have the entire thing executed in my head and not write things down. For me, and that was just my problem, for me to write it down meant I had to do it. If it wasn't written down, this is my way of thinking, a little convoluted here. And I've gotten over that. My New Year's resolution this year was to write lists. And I'm actually compiling, it'd probably be about 150 pages, maybe more, ebook that I'm giving away for free on different kinds of lists. Because they're helpful, right? They're really helpful. And so that was my resolution. My kids were all laughing and thought that was hysterical because, you know, their mom never really makes lists. So that was the one thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to just get the one thing done that I had to get done that day and then go from there. I'm going to tell you something I did, and it helped me, and it may not help you, but I started listing all my problems because sometimes we think they're insurmountable, you know, and I got specific with them because then my husband and I could look at it and say, okay, this issue here, this issue here, this issue here, this issue here, and kind of troubleshoot what we needed to do with that. I called it my gripe list, big letters at the top. These are the things I'm not happy about, Lord. Just in case you don't know, I'm going to show you this here. And then I went to one of the stores. You know, we have all these stores. I don't like to list names of stores when I speak, but because it's not a product endorsement. But we have a lot of discount stores. But I like these really pretty leather books that have blank pages. So I got one that actually had a soft, it had a hardcover, but I could write on it. And on the front, I wrote prayer book. So in the front of the book, I wrote praises to God, answered prayer. And then in the back of the book, because see, my thought was, you know, Lord, it's in the back of the book. It's an afterthought. I'm not going to leave a whole lot of room for all of the things that are problems. And I put that in the back of the book. And it was so awesome as the year went on to see all the ways that God had answered our prayers. All the times we had not even prayed for a specific thing and that God answered it. We had one of the things when we started kneeling down beside the bed and praying. Years ago, my husband was doing these condos. He was building and remodeling. And his parents wanted to invest. And so what they did was instead they loaned us money with interest. And so for years, they didn't want us to pay them back and just pay the interest on it. So for years, we were paying on this huge amount of money. And as the years went by, we had not only paid back the balance, but had more than paid it back. And it's, you know, it's family. How do you say to your in-laws, okay, you know, we've already paid back the balance? And it was a situation that my husband and I both are on the same page. Like, money is not that important. God owns it all. He'll deal with it. Well, when we were praying, one of the second day of, like, really on our knees beside our bed at night, I get a call from my mother-in-law. And she said, you know, your father-in-law and I have been talking, and we've decided you don't owe us any more money. We hadn't even asked them. That was one that was on the little gripe list, though. But we hadn't even, it was $50,000 of debt that they just erased. Now, to preface that, that was part of Jeff's inheritance someday that he would have gotten. So their inheritance has been invested. So that was to take care of that investment amount. So if they had at some point died, we wouldn't have owed the money, but we still were paying the interest on it. So praise God, right? Praise God, he knew. And so when it looks like a hopeless situation, the Lord has an answer, and a solution may come in unanswered prayer, you know? Unrequested prayer, so you never know. So, you know, again, listing out the solution sometimes helps, and that's just one of the things. So is it impossible? Nothing is impossible with God, and we all know that. And so I want you to look at the biggest challenges in your life. You know, first of all, let me ask you, is God in your life? Because if God is in your life, we should be thriving, right? We should be thriving. We shouldn't be surviving. We have a podcast called Mommy Jammies Night. And one of the speakers one time did a talk, and it was hysterical. And her talk was, you know, I throw in the towel if I could find a clean one, you know? Sometimes we feel like that. You know, we throw in the towel, but we can't, you know? So it's, you know, what is the part that needs to be fixed in your life, you know? And we can know a Christian by their fruit. For many years, I wrote with a co-author, Jill Whitlock. I'm an educator. She was the creation scientist. So she gave me this outline, and then I turned it into a book. I had a publishing company. I had written the first book, Teaching Science and Having Fun, and then I happened to meet Jill. It was a God thing, and so Jill and I became friends, and she used big words. She didn't call forks and knives. They were utensils. The play set was, you know, the play structure. She always had these huge words. When I first sat with her, she said, you know, let's talk about the second law of thermodynamics. And I said, wait a minute, I didn't even know there was a first law. You know, I'm assuming that there is. So she was way over my head. And we worked together for many, many years. And then, you know, as we were working, I remember one year we were publishing another book, and she had all these connections, and the Institute for Creation Research picked up our books, and we're selling all these books. And we were working with somebody at the printing shop, and the girl says to me, I want what Jill has. Now, notice she didn't say, I want what you have. She said, what is with her? She just has this happiness and this joy. I go, I know, it's incredible. You know, it was tangible. She would go get gas, and she's witnessing the people in the gas line. You know what I mean? She just was one of those people, and she came from a nothingness. Like, she never even knew God growing up. You know, I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic. I've been Catholic all my life. I've known God all my life. I sat at my grandmother's feet. She read me the Bible. You know, I went to school. I didn't know who Cinderella was. I didn't know who Sleeping Beauty was. I knew who the apostles were, you know, and my mother got called in, and, you know, your daughter doesn't know who Cinderella is. And I was, like, supposed to be sitting there quiet, and I'm peeking out from behind her. I go, but I know who the apostles are. Do you know Adam and Eve? You know, you know, But mine was more head knowledge, you know, and Jill's was heart. When she accepted the Lord, they went bankrupt, and she was a geologist, and she told oil companies where to dig. And when she accepted the Lord, She got a job. Well, they lost all their money, of course. That tends to happen. And the prosperity gospel sometimes just is not there. And then she got a job at a church as a secretary. And the pastor said, well, you know, do you know the Lord? And she said, no, not really, but I'm open to learning. So he handed her the Bible, and she opened it, and she said she read, in the beginning God created, and she had problems with Genesis 1:1 because she was an evolutionist. So, you know, she said, I opened the Bible, I already had problems with the first line in here, we're in trouble now. But God used that seed, that job, she needed that job, and she took 10 years to study about creation and to unlearn all that she had learned. So when she found God, can you imagine years of not knowing him? When she found God, she was delighted. She wanted everybody to know her God, to love her God. And so that is, you know, something, and that lady who was our account rep at the printing company did come to know the Lord. So that was exciting. And so, you know, how are you touching God in your everyday? You know, are you spending time with God each day? That is the one thing I will not compromise. Every single day, I must have that time with God. You know, if you call it quiet time, if you call it time in prayer. Mommies with little babies, your time with God may be in the morning, you know, when you're up with the little one and you're saying, God, help me today. That might be your time with God. You might not have, you know, you're going to have the best intentions, but don't beat yourself up over it. I remember those days being sleep deprived, you know. My daughter and her husband, one of the things they do is they have little readings, and a lot of times, you know, they're in bed and she's nursing the baby before they go to bed at night, and he's reading their little whatever they're studying together. And she said, half the time I fall asleep, you know, I'm so tired. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, those times will come. Enjoy those little ones. And God understands, you know. And so, you know, look at that time. How are you spending time with God? And ministering to your children is spending, you know, is doing what God wants you to do. God does not want us to do everything outside of the home. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that the hard way. So, you know, one of the things you get as a homeschool mom is, oh, well, you don't work. You don't work. So you can come and volunteer and do this, 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 and this. So don't get caught up in that. So the biggest challenges are going to be, where's God in your life, making sure that he is in your life and you're spending time with him, and then how are you going to improve on that time, and how are you going to purpose to do that? I'm going to ask a very silly rhetorical question that I will then answer for you. You know, have you asked God? A lot of times I will talk to people and they will say, God doesn't answer my prayer. And I will say, have you asked him? And I don't even know why the Lord prompted me to do that. More times than not, they are, I think Meredith shared earlier that she was giving these talks and people were not asking the right questions. They were not asking the right questions. You know, it's, you know, God, can I win the lottery? You know, that's not the right question. You know, the right question is, if this is good for my eternal soul, you know, what is it? I mean, sometimes we're going through hardship, and what does hardship do? We're being purified. The scriptures talk about that. You know, being purified in fire. And that's how gold is purified, right? It's painful, this purification. One of the things a friend of mine was talking about, you know, because I would be like, oh, Lord, you know, let this cross quickly go by. And that was my prayer. Okay, Lord, I'm dealing with this cross today. Let it go by quickly. Okay, God, I've got another question. Okay, look. And I was talking to this, my friend's husband, who is the doctor, and he said to me, because they ran a prayer group that we would go to weekly, and, you know, he said, you know what, Felice, I used to do that. And then I used to say, well, I don't know what the next cross is going to be. So I'm not going to be asking it to hurry up and go by, you know, because we know what this one is. And so God gives you the ability to deal with that problem so you can thrive that day. We look at things down the road. When I found out my son had a form of Down syndrome when he was 4, and I was arguing with the doctor at a party that we were at with him, and he kept saying, you know, Felice, you're a teacher, you're looking for things, you are. And I was, kept saying, there's something wrong. Well, I found out there was something wrong, and Neil had a form of Down syndrome. I didn't even know there were forms of Down syndrome. I had a teaching degree. No one ever said, oh, there's forms of Down syndrome. And that meant that 1% of his cells were defective. And all that translated to in years past, now that he's 35, is that Neil's just a little bit slower. We say Neil does things on Neil time. He probably does things like his mommy does on our time. But we don't want to, blame ourselves. But no, Neil does it just takes him a little bit longer. And he's a perfectionist. Really, God, you gave a child with some learning challenges who's a little bit slower, perfectionism, can we talk? So he would write and erase so much that it went through a hole in the paper because it wasn't how he thought it should look. And just some things like that would just set me over the edge. And so, I would tease Neil sometimes and go, Neil, do you want to go to school? And he goes, oh, no, Mom. And I said, well, why not? Well, because then I wouldn't be able to have my electric pencil sharpener. His dad would sometimes draw these prints and on the big print paper, whatever that was called, the sepia, whatever, you had this electric pencil sharpener. Neil loved that thing. Not pencil sharpener, eraser. So with a little push of a button, it erased, and it erased beautifully, so it didn't have all these marks. We had the pencil sharpener, too. But, it was that he needed that eraser, and he needed his water. And so God gave me this child, and all I could think about he's 4. When he's 18, he'll be okay. Because then he'd be done with school. At that point, I didn't know I was homeschooling. But God knew. And so, God gave me a child. And what was my degree? We didn't talk about that at the beginning. I have a degree in elementary education, learning disabilities, and early childhood education. Did God prepare me? So what did I do? Well, I have to hire a speech therapist, and I have to get Neil, occupational therapy, and we have to do all of these other things, and all of you other people are going to take care of my child. Until finally, I said to the King of the Universe, what would you have me do? I met homeschoolers. I told them, people, you don't know what you're doing. Have a degree. What are you trying to do homeschooling? Put your kids in school. What did I know? That's what we knew back then. Homeschooling was so new that no one we really knew homeschooled. And yet, years later, here I was homeschooling and realizing that all of these people without a degree, without all these preconceived notions, were doing a heck of a job better than I was. Because I was trying to recreate the home or the school in the home, and that's not doable. Your homeschool should be better than anything they can get because it should allow you to explore what they love and teach, in that way. This Tuesday, as I record this, we are going to have Mommy Jammies Night, and it's going to be based on delight learning, and that is going to be an amazing topic on how you can use, and I've done that through the years without even realizing it has a title or a topic, of finding out what your kids love and then watch their learning just take off. One of them was my daughter, Christina, and she loved reading, but she didn't like writing as much, and then she started writing, and she and I wrote 3 novels together. So school for her was not work. So ask God, ask him how he would have you homeschool. And now I'm going to give you some answers. And, one of them would be praise God in all things and, pray for wisdom, obviously. I'm not, a great singer, but when I get really down, I start singing praise songs. And so, that is one of the things. I love Philippians 4:7. I love to pray for that peace that surpasses all understanding, especially when I'm stressed. Okay, so I'm going to give you, I know we're getting to the end of our time now, so I am going to give you some, just real quick, and again, there's handouts at that bit.ly link. It's bit.ly/finish with a capital F, well with a capital W, and bonus with a capital B, no spaces, and you'll find the notes there. But the first thing I want you to do is purpose to be positive. Just like my friend, the doctor, who, when I say, how are you, he says, I'm blessed. Purpose to be positive. Compliment others. We can bless more with words, right? You know, work on prevention. You know, that is something that is important. And, where am I now? Okay, here we go. And I'm going to say something that is an impossibility, but again, you're purposing to be happy. You know, there's all these commercials, you know, got milk, and, you know, you can do it, and all of these slogans. We need to have a slogan, and that was one of the things I'm going to ask you to do later, is have a family slogan or something that you can purpose. Because that's, a lot of it is, all we can do is dwell on the negative. I know that there are some things, I mean, we prayed with some people yesterday that have things that are, I look at as insurmountable. But God has an answer and he knows. And you know what, people? Newsflash here, this isn't heaven, you know? And so, you know, even when stuff happens with the Supreme Court, we expect the Supreme Court to be Christian when we don't have a Christian nation any longer. I mean, we are. I think if you took a poll of the people, more Christians than not, but until we start standing up and doing something about it, you know, we can't expect, you know, those people to act like we should act, and we need to start in our homes. All right, so I'm going to give you quickly thriving success chart 1 through 3. Decide today that you're going to be happy. It's an act of will. Just like forgiveness is an act of will. We don't have to feel that we're forgiving somebody. We just need to know that God expects us to. And so we're going to do that. You know, forgiveness, which I'm so delighted that that is one of the reoccurring themes of this conference, is pivotal to any real joy taking place. Because if we are holding something against someone else, it's hard for us to go on. So decide you're going to praise God in all things. And if you can't do it, you know, for the whole day, do it for 1 minute. Every single night we pray, and whoever's home joins in, and after we've prayed, we go around the room, and I don't care if my 35-year-old son's in there. Actually, he'll be 35 in December. I'm making him older than he is, 34. And, you know, down to the 15-year-old, we will go around the room, and we will share what we are thankful for. We will share what we are thankful for, and we will thank God that we are able to be together as a family. Surround yourself is a second thing with like-minded people. I had a really good friend at one point that always brought me down. When I got down, you know, done with being around this person, and God, you know, is God, and the enemy is the enemy. And I ended up with somebody just like this person who was doing my hair. And by the time I was done, you know, I was so tired and so drained. And you know how we women are. If we go someplace and get our hair cut, it's really hard to change. And so I finally just said to my husband, I have got to not be around that person because I feel drained when I leave. So sometimes we can't do that. If God has you in a position of, you know, service to others and you might not be able to. But if you are typically like most of us, you know, you need to not walk but run, because that can just pull you down and you're going to be, you know, in that negativity. The other is, you know, I have a note here to myself here, and it says, if you are a homeschooler, run, don't walk away from this type of person. You know, let the phone go to voicemail and, you know, maybe get back to that person in a few days. And really pray before you call that person back, because I've been there. The third thing is you can never outgive God. When there are situations in your life that are happening and you're struggling, my answer to that is to pray a blessing on that person. There was a person I was struggling with for years to forgive, and every time that person came to mind, I would just stop and I would say, "Dear Lord, just bless her wherever she is today. Just bless her abundantly in Jesus' name, amen," and walk and continue on. You know, do that with the situations. You know, my husband and I said, "Thank you, Lord, that we don't have enough money to pay our vendors whose supply bill we have sitting out here, because the contractors won't pay us what they owe us, because they went under too." And we just thanked God, and by some miracle, it all worked out that we were able to pay off all of these things that God, you know, already knew that he would provide for. One of the things that I had promised God, I remember, you know, I had to finally ask him to relieve me of that promise. At one point, I was helping a lot of people get published, and I had prayed, you know, "Lord, please help me with my publishing, because nobody's really answering my questions who's done it before, and I will, you know, help people who ask me." I did that for 10 years, and I finally had to stop. I ended up writing a really short book I can, you know, give somebody now that's under $10. But, you know, I had to at some point, you know, that was how I was giving back to God. So at some point I had to pray and I said, "Lord, could you relieve me of that promise?" And the Lord, you know, definitely did. I didn't feel, you know, any guilt at all about, you know, not being able to talk to people on the phone about that. The next is number 4 through 6. What is your family mission statement? Have you ever done that? Have you guys ever come up with, you know, what is something that you and your family can hold tight to? In business, we have a mission statement. We have a little tagline or something that defines our business, so we have a goal. And so, you know, that is one of the things that I would recommend. If you have commitments, I'm on the wrong slide, sorry. If you have commitments, cut loose of those that you can't fulfill, if they're taken away from your family. I'm telling you right now, ladies, I get involved in everything. When I started marketing for my husband, 2 months into this marketing thing, this weekly breakfast thing, this lady comes up to me and goes, "We've decided you're our next president." No, I'm not going to be the next president. Why? Because I was just doing what I was supposed to do. Because you know what? 99.9% of the people don't. So if you're doing what you're supposed to do, they think you're a superstar. You know, just doing the minimum here, which you told me to do. You know, and so you've got to know when to say no. Streamline as much as possible. Sometimes we look at our lives and we look at the clutter. One of the things I am going to do, because this is my last live speaking this summer, I am going to go home and I am de-junking. I have stuff that from homeschooling since the dark ages. I started homeschooling in 1986. I have stuff from 1986. my daughter's homeschooling her little ones now, so we have shelves where we put stuff. But there's some stuff she doesn't want. We need to get rid of. So streamline, clean up, analyze your frustrations. Why are you frustrated? Are you looking at your homeschooling and saying, "Well, I'm not getting done as much as the Curtis family"? Look at that Meredith Curtis. She's amazing. She does all of this stuff. And yes, she is. And she's a pastor's wife. And did you know she can sing? You know? And yet you look at all of these people, but you're not Meredith. God gave her the grace and the gifts to do what Meredith does. And Meredith is not Felice Gerwitz. You know, God didn't give her, you know, whatever he's given me, I'm not sure. You won't find Meredith being stressed and baking bread, I don't think, right? Oh, gosh. So I've been known to do that. I have a talk I'm supposed to do, like at 2 o'clock, and I'm making muffins, you know. Just makes me feel better. Smell those muffins baking. But analyze your frustration. You know what? That was one of my frustrations, that I didn't have time to bake. So I made time for that. Another one of my frustrations, which I was really irritated, I'm going to ask you moms out there, when is the last time you read a book for fun? not a spiritual book, not a book about how to teach science and have fun. Not a science fair, but when is the last time you read a book for fun? So I allow myself every once in a while, and then you know what happens? I get really irritated that it was so bad and I wasted time. So pray and ask friends to give you some advice of good books to read. Okay. But what are your frustrations? And as you can, go through those. Be an encourager. Lift up with words. When you do that, when you lift up others, you will find that God is lifting you up as well. All right, so in the last, there's 10. So 7 through 9, let's go through these quickly. And again, the handout's on the website. Learn at the feet of others. I learned so much from sessions like this, from sessions of some of the podcasters. Helen Melanie Young have an amazing podcast on making biblical families practical. And they're both funny anyway. On a good day, they're just cute. And so they're really encouraging. Meredith and her team with the Finish Well podcast, always encouraging, amazing. And then we have a Mommy Jammies night. So that's where we get together one time a month, wherever you are, put on the computer, go to mommyjammiesnight.com. We have a Facebook party, usually an hour before. If you don't have Facebook or are not on there, that's fine. Just come tune in and come chat with moms from all over the world. We had a mom, her husband was stationed in Germany, and she always came to Mommy Jammies Night. She now lives in California. And she came to Mommy Jammies Night because she didn't have that, camaraderie with people there. So we have people from all over the world that listen. And, then spend time alone with God. And again, alone might just be with that little one in the morning when it's quiet before everyone wakes up, or alone at 2 in the morning. When I was nursing my little ones, I was praying for Christina's spouse someday. So I was praying for my son-in-law, Billy, who I didn't even know his name at the time. And so, use that time well. And then create your own book of scriptures. Whatever's your book. Like for me, it's the book of Proverbs, and I did a whole teaching on homeschoolingwithproverbs.com. But for me, that's so many life. That's God's book on marriage, on family, on how to act, on so many different levels. I love that book. Whatever is your book. And, purpose to memorize the scriptures and to just apply them in your heart. Okay. So the thriving success chart number 10 is the family mission. Here it is. Who are we? What do we plan to accomplish? How are we going to work together? How can we make changes together as a family? And how can we lift each other up? We have family meetings. I run a company. I have, a mission statement. I have a very loose business plan. Business plans are not my friend, because then I have to write it down and have goals and make them or not. So, God is my business plan. I'm holding to that story. But we have family meetings. I call a meeting, and everybody's there. And Dad speaks first. He usually starts with a prayer. And the prayer goes something like this: Dear Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for this time together. And I ask that you open each of my children's minds and hearts to hear what we have to say and have them understand the words we are saying to them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Dad talks to them, and then Mom comes in and goes, What do you think Dad said? And it's amazing. That's not what he said. Have you ever asked your kids, when I said, I had one son in particular, and I would say something to him, and his reaction was not at all what it should be. And I would look at him, and he's an awesome, awesome person. This child can fix anything. And I would just look at him and say, Son, what do you think I said? And he would tell me, That's not what I meant. He did, he heard what I said, but it wasn't what I meant. And so we need to do that. If you run a business, and I don't know if there's any, business moms and dads or people who have come from corporate America, but when you run a business and you have a group of people that you're working with, you always ask those questions. What do you think our goals are? What do you think we're supposed to be doing? We don't do that with our families, do we? We don't. And that's something from when they were little, we had family meetings. My dad lives with us now, and yes, the 85-year-old is at our family meetings, and my dad's hysterical. I still get in trouble, by the way. My dad, you know what his problem was? Do you know I walked by the kitchen? My dad has a heavy Italian accent. I walked by the kitchen table, and the salt was on its side all day. The salt shaker. Oh, please, Lord, help me with this one. I go to my dad. You didn't feel like you needed to, you know, try not to laugh, to go. And my kids are like, you know, because no one's allowed to laugh. You know, put the salt up, Dad? No. It was an experiment. I wanted to see how long it would take, you know? Like, I don't even know how it got tipped over, but it's okay, because that was bothering him. You know, my dad's a perfectionist, and he's a neatnik, and his daughter is nowhere near that. So, you know, my two brothers are both perfectionists, but I always remind my dad, you chose to live with me, Daddy, so. All right, and the last is our success. How is your success measured in your life? Is your success measured by what kind of car you drive, what kind of stuff you have? You know, it is, when the gold prices were up, I had a ton of jewelry that I inherited from my mother that I was never, never going to wear. Nobody in my family wanted it. You know, they took a few little mementos. And it was, I cannot tell you, of course I made my son-in-law go with me because the guy who bought the gold was a client of his. But I cannot tell you how freeing it was to get rid of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of jewelry. It was like this, I'm not a big jewelry person. When I'm home, everything comes off. My husband likes to buy me jewelry, so I wear it for him. But everything bothers me around my neck, you know, my arms. If I could take off my wedding ring, I would. I just am not, you know, a jewelry person. So, but it was, you know, it was my mother's stuff. I had it. How could I sell these, you know, big gold chains from Italy, you know, big thick gold ones, you know? And it was just freeing. So if there's something in your life that you don't even know is a bondage, you know, if it's a thing that you've held on to for sentimental reasons and you just need to get rid of it, get rid of it. You know, God measures success differently. And this is a plaque we have up above our little, we have bottled water in our house because we live on a well system. So it's the Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's our family mission statement. So find one for you. And then the other one I love is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. We can just rest, right? He knows. Not that we don't have to do something about it. Not that we can just sit back and say, well, he knows the plans. You know, we're done. God knows. He does know. But he also wants us to participate. He wants us to purpose to thrive every day. To thrive every day. Because what? We are heirs to the kingdom. Our Father is a king. You know, what more could we aspire to in life? We have everything we need. Amen? All right. And that's all I have for you today. You can connect with me on lots of social media. One thing I want to tell you, on Facebook, I have a Facebook page I started years ago. It was back when I was in the depths of despair. And I need to go back to it, and it's facebook.com/a few minutes with God. And that was a place that every day I tried to post a scripture verse, you know, something that I got in my quiet time. And also, it was a place where people came for prayer. And so we had prayers on Wednesday, and then on Friday was praise reports. So people could, you know, and it was amazing that. So I'm going to put that out there, and hopefully I can purpose to do more with that. So come see me at mediaangels.com. Email me, Felice@mediaangels.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice@mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.